what's going to make it really good as we, you know, put January behind us is to recognize that this is going or should be a fruitful year. We're looking forward to a fruitful year, a fruitful life. Amen. You are a fruitful Christian. And God, amen, he wants to know, amen, is there anybody following you? Amen. And, amen, I'm not talking about on Facebook, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Amen. I'm not. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about on Facebook. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking. Amen. About someone who is stalking you. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about stalkers. Amen. But amen. I'm talking about is there anybody following the Christ in you? Amen. Amen. That's what God wants us to realize. Amen. That we should be following the Christ. Amen. Amen. Were you talking about social media? Were you talking about secret admirers? Or whether you're talking about salvation, it's important to know that somebody is following you. Amen. 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 You may not even want to be following you, but you're being some kind of an example to somebody. Amen. We're all leaders. We may be poor leaders, but we are leading somebody. Amen. 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 You are setting an example. You are modeling something. Amen. And God wants you to realize this year that 2019 is to be, amen, a fruitful year. Amen. Amen. And Paul writes to this church at Corinthians, at Corinth, this church that he founded, as you look in, you don't have to turn there, but Acts chapter 18, verse 11, he founded this church. This church he stayed there a year and a half dealing with this church. The Corinthian church was a mess. The Corinthian church had it going on, amen. They had gifts of healing. They had words of knowledge. They had miracles, amen. They had manifestation of many different things in the Corinthian church, amen, amen. They were they were a gifted church, but they had mega problems. They had mega problems. Very gifted people, but they had mega problems. They were amen. They were eating, getting drunk at communion, amen. They were, amen, they were part of a sexual revolution where they wanted to be free, amen. They were eating, visiting the temple, prostitutes where they worship, and prostitution was a form of worship. And because, you know, there was virgins there, and they would visit the temple. This place, they had a whole lot going on. They had incest. They had, amen. And Paul wrote to them and told them that although your church is very gifted, and although you're, he says that, you know, although you all are miracles and you have people speaking in tongues, you have healing, you have all these things. Though I speak with the tongue, with the men of tongues and angels, but if I don't have love, amen. You're a gifted church, but if you don't have love, though I be able to prophesy and to have all knowledge and He says that if I don't have love, your Bible may say charity in 1 Corinthians 13. He's letting them know that if I don't have love, amen, then my life is useless. Things are worthless. I can have everything, but if I don't have love, it doesn't matter how much money you put in the church, how much you go to church, how well you work in the church. If you are a nasty saint, amen, you're mean and nasty, and you don't like nobody, it doesn't make no difference what good, what you can do. You got to have love. Love. People have, Paul here speaks of the superiority of love over the gifts. It rules number one. If you don't have love, I don't care whatever else you do. If you don't like me, amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't like the person you're sitting to or behind you, amen. If you don't love nobody, Paul says, forget it. I don't care how gifted you are. Amen. Amen. You are of no value. He says you are of no good at all. Amen. You must have love is superior. And so he tells them about that, and he lets them know the importance of love. If you don't love nobody, amen, it doesn't care, it doesn't matter what you got or how gifted you are, how well you can sing or preach or deke or anything else. Amen. You got to have love. Amen. If I don't have love, Paul said, you can forget it. Amen. Amen. So as he writes, he lets them know that love is important. So we see what he says here. This verse starts, amen, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But it actually goes, it's referring to, it's a summation of what has gone on before it. Chapter 11 really starts down at verse 2, but verse 1 is really speaking to everything that has gone on prior to it. And Paul says that I want you to follow him. He says, what has gone on before it is Paul had talked to them about a lot of things. He had talked to them about, amen, the way that they were eating meat offered to idols, and Paul says that, you know, they were confused over whether or not, I mean, they would go down to the place and they would eat meat offered to idols. And they were, the Corinthians were split up over that. They didn't like that. Amen. Amen. This was a very divided church. Amen. Amen. It was very divided. And he says, some says I'm of Paul, and some says I'm of Peter, and some says I'm of Apollos. Amen. 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 I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:12. But he says that some say I'm holier than thou. I'm of Christ. Amen. And they were very divided, but as he talked to them, they were making all kind of mistakes. They were eating meat that was offered to idols, and he let them know that you got to be careful that you don't let your brother see you doing that. It's not that you're being hypocritical. Amen. Oftentimes we have people. Paul says that, you know, I want you to follow me. That's his request. And he says, I'm requesting that you follow me. How can we follow you, Paul? Well, you know, I don't eat meat, you know, that's going to make my brother stumble. That's what he said. He says that, you know, if eating meat offends my brother, then I won't eat any meat. No meat for me. Matter of fact, he says, I won't eat no meat for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. I think that's what he said in 1 Corinthians 10:32, somewhere in that area. He says, I won't eat no meat the rest of my life if it makes that brother over there stumble. Amen. Amen. Paul says, we got to recognize that there are immature believers, and you can't just go around doing what you want to do, although you have the right to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, they were saying, look, we're free in Christ. We can do what we want to do. Right. Yeah, I'm free to do what I want to. I can leave here today and get me a bottle of whiskey. Right. I'm free. It ain't going to stop me from going to heaven. But what is that going to do to that immature Christian over there that's struggling in his faith? Or what is the unbeliever going to say? Yeah. You say, I can do what I want to. I don't care what people think. You know how people get. You better care what people think. Amen. Paul says, if eating meat offends my brother, then I won't eat no meat that's offered to idols. The belief was that it was the case where there was meat offered to pagan gods. And so since it was offered to pagan gods, there were those who concluded that it's not right to eat that meat. And they were confused about it not being right. Now, it made no difference about them eating the meat. But if they were confused about it, Paul said, I'm not going to add to their confusion. Amen. And that's what we have to understand. We have to recognize the impact of our actions. Paul, amen, you said, well, it's all right to drink. It's all right to smoke. It's all right to do these things. If I want to do them, I'm free. It ain't going to stop me from going to heaven. Amen. But what you're not recognizing is their belief is that when you ate something from a temple, you became one with the temple. Because they didn't just eat with everybody. Jews ate with people they were friends with, or family, or folk that they were in approval of. They did not eat with everyone. Amen. Because they believe in eating, you became one with them. You were intimate. It was an intimate action. I'm eating. I'm taking off some bread off of a loaf and passing it down to the next person, and we are sopping it in the same bowl, and we are taking the same nutrients, and we're becoming one. You don't eat with everybody. To eat with them is to identify with them. By the same token, Their confusion was over the fact that when you start thinking about the liquor store or the folk that sell the liquor, you say it's all right to drink liquor, amen. But what you don't understand is that you're becoming one with the liquor store if you go there, amen. Because it's dedicated. It's dedicated not to God's work. It's dedicated to something that is opposition to God. So when you go, now you are identifying with somebody who are dedicated to something that's against God. Just by you going. And you say, well, he said, well, but he says, you're becoming one with that place. You're for all that they are for. You become your identity. You're supporting it. You're investing in it. They're going to continue to exist. I'm not going to eat it. There's a reason why you can't just do whatever you want to do, irrespective of what folk think. You got to be concerned about what folk think, because you're making folks stumble. Have you got a witness? You're making someone weak in the faith to stumble. Amen. We got to recognize that, that's what happened. So Paul says, I don't want the Jews to stumble. I don't want the Greeks to stumble. I don't want the Gentiles to stumble. I don't want the church to stumble. Paul says, I've got to be responsible with my faith and with my actions. I can't just be a part of everything, although I have the liberty to. You read 1 Corinthians 6:12 where he says, all things are lawful unto me. But all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. That word expedient, translated in the Greek, means to be profitable. Not all things is profitable for you as a Christian to be having a whiskey bottle in your hand. Or a Budweiser, by the way. And at this point, I'm not talking about whether it's heaven or hell, saved or unsaved. I'm talking about the impact that it has on somebody who's trying to follow the Lord, and they're going to stumble. They're going to trip up because of that. God calls us to be very careful about the message we send to the unsaved and to weak Christians. You can't just leave here and do whatever you want to do. Not this year. Not if you want a fruitful year. You have to recognize the importance of your actions. And Paul says, my request is that you follow me. And Paul says, the way I do it is, if eating meat offends my brother, I won't eat any. And I want to be your example. That's what Paul is saying. Follow me. I want to be your example. Now, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Paul is not saying just follow me. Is he? And I don't blame you if they're not following Christ. But Paul did say, follow me, didn't he? And is Paul a man? Pattern after me. Model after me. Amen. Amen. Let me mimic what I'm doing. Amen. Do it the way I'm doing it. I have liberty and I'm free in Christ. I can eat what I want to eat. And eating that meat is not going to send me to heaven or hell. But since it makes my brother stumble, I better be careful what I do. Amen. That will confuse other people. Because God says that Paul says certain things. Like I said, he said, I'm not going to ever eat no more meat. If it offends my brother, I have the right to eat it, but I will never eat another steak in my life. If that's going to make that brother get confused over there. Paul was concerned and he was serious about his faith. Follow me even as I follow Christ. Amen. Paul here says, follow me as I follow Christ. And this is important. And the question becomes, is anybody following you? Amen. Is anybody following you? Paul was trying his best to get somebody to follow him. Amen. He says, I want to be the model. I want to be the example. I want to set the standard. Follow me. And the question becomes this morning, is anybody following you? Amen. God wants us. Amen. Because there's something wrong if no one is following you. I guess I need to ask you, how long have you really been a Christian? I got to make sure I'm not asking you a fair question. I mean, you may not have been Christian long enough. Amen. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, five. Amen. It does take some time, you know what I mean, for you to get yourself together for somebody to follow you. Amen. How long you been? I mean, I'm just asking. 10 years maybe? 15? 20? Okay, 20. Well, I think we ought to have a little pool there, shouldn't we? Amen. You've been following the Lord for 20 years. Amen. Since 2000. Now I'm asking you, since 2000, is there anybody following you? You've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. Are you influencing anybody? Maybe a coworker or two. Neighbor, maybe. Cousin, I don't know. Well, let's dig a little deeper. What about? Is anybody following you on CME days? Is anybody interested in where you worship? Is anybody interested in your God since they saw your life? Even on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, they haven't followed you yet. They are supposed to be. If no one is following you, amen, then that means that there is, you need to give attention to that, because, amen, tell your neighbor, you're not going to heaven by yourself. Will there be anybody in heaven because of you? I mean, he left us here for a reason, right? We don't need to sing songs and get happy. At the crux of the bottom line of everything you and I do at the end of the day, it ought to equal somebody coming to Christ. Somebody ought to be interested in you. Somebody ought to be wondering about you. You ought to pop in somebody's head. And when you pop in somebody's head, amen, they ought to think about, you know, I think I need to give my life to Jesus. I think I'm thinking about that person that I saw. Amen. But if your life, if you are a sterile, infertile saint, Jesus says that you ought to let your light shine. Now, you could have hidden the light. I don't know. I don't think you would do that. But he says in Matthew 5:15, he said, we don't light a candle to put it under a bushel. Amen. And it's not meant to be hid. Amen. Your belief in God, you ought to be, you ought to bring it out. And at the end of the day, somebody ought to glorify God. At the end of the day, your life is going to be used in 2019 to be a light to the world. And you're going to say, follow me. And he said, ye are, these metaphors that he used, ye are the salt of the earth. You mean you ain't giving nobody no appetite for Jesus? Nobody gets no appetite around you? Nobody is thinking about getting closer to, is there anybody following you to heaven? Amen. Because you don't need to go by yourself. He left us here because he said, ye are the salt of the earth. And what salt does is it creates a thirst. You ever ate a lot of salt? You ever ate something that got too much salt in it? Maybe some of that soy sauce? Amen. And you found out you just, oh, I want some water bad. You ate some soy sauce, too much soy sauce. Or some chips even. And your throat got dry. Salt makes folks thirsty, make them dry, makes them, gives them an appetite. And we know where the water is, don't we? They don't need to go and get no dope. That's not going to quench it. The cigarette's just going to get you hooked and you're going to spend years trying to get, having a nicotine fit. You cannot follow the world and try to find no relief for this problem. The world is hungry. You know what they're hungry for? The living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see, because the world is looking for answers and you and I have the answer. We found it already. We all know Jesus is the answer for the world. The fact of the matter is that people are wrestling. They're looking for hope. They're looking for sustenance, spiritual sustenance that can keep them during the challenges and the vicissitudes of life. We have to recognize that I am here not just to wait to die, not just to wait to go to heaven, not just to go to church and march around and sing folk happy. I'm not that. Ain't got these folk already saved. We, what are we doing to populate heaven? So you're not reproducing. Any Christian that's not reproducing is sterile. You ought to be having babies. You ought to be making somebody. You see, if you die and you ain't done nothing, you ain't won nobody to Christ. All you did was watch TV and bought a new car. You got a lot of money in the bank. You may have got some nice clothes, but that ain't got nothing to do with eternal life. Come on now. God made this stuff down for us to use. I already told you. We use stuff, but we love people. We have got to reproduce. We have got to make other Christians. Somebody has got to want to be a Christian because of you. You're the model. You ever seen those demos they drive around, Brother Burns? Amen. They want you to buy that new car. So what they do, amen, Kenneth, is they just let you drive it around. They give you one just to drive around, amen. You ain't got to buy it. We're going to just let them drive it around. He driving around. Ooh, look at that car over there, amen. Next thing you know, you went and bought one. You ever went in the store and they got some cheese and crackers and they got some, they trying, they got some samples. They giving that away. They said, don't you want one? Amen. Amen. They looked at, they're going to give you a sample of it. The world has got to find some samples. And when they taste it, they eventually, now we're not trying to make folk follow us. I'm not trying to make Faustites. Amen. Amen. We're not trying to make Lionites. Hey, Brother Lion. Oh, we're not trying to make folk follow us. Amen. Paul didn't say, I'm trying to make Paulites. He says, Christ is the ultimate goal, and he's the one that's made the difference in my life. Somebody ought to be following you, your family, your cousins, your friends. Somebody ought to have their eye on you. Ask your neighbors, is there anybody? Man. Is there anybody? Well, I think the truth is I didn't get a chance to get this right, but the fact of the matter is that Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, we know Paul did not die alone. Did he? We got 13. Paul wrote 13 letters. You know what happened? Somebody was following Paul. We know they were. We just read one of the Corinthians. That's a Pauline epistle. He was over there working in Corinth. He went on these journeys. Paul had the Thessalonians follow him. He had the Galatians following him. The Ephesians following him. The Philippians following him. The Colossians were following him. And he had people following him, Timothy and Titus. Paul was fruitful. Paul's life made other Christians. And when Paul passed off the scene, there were Christians everywhere. Paul, one man. One. Can everybody shout one? Amen. One man.